Okay, Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Bibi Damshas of Paramatma here, Jiva Tattva, page 45. Though the Jiva possesses many outstanding qualities, he is always dependent on the Paramatma. The Jiva's Swarup is different from the gross and subtle bodies, though he is in contact with the upadis created by Maya. Even though he's in contact with the gross body and subtle body, he's not these things. His identification is separate from that, his Swarup. Since he has the potential to attain liberation by the mercy of Paramatma, hence the Jiva is superior to the unconscious material energy and is part of the Lord's spiritual Shakti, right? Because we don't see that, you know, rocks or stuff like that are getting liberation and going back to Godhead. You know, it's not like you go back to the spiritual world and then you notice, hey, that bench used to be in my backyard. You know, it's like, no, it's not happening. So that's the thing, is he's different and that he's superior because he, by Paramatma's grace, can go back to Godhead while the rocks can't. Thus the Jiva, owing to his miniature size, miniature, that's interesting, and his quality of becoming overcome by Maya, is always inferior to and dependent on the Lord, who is supremely independent with most abundant qualities. So we have qualities that are similar like the Lord, but we don't have the same volume. And so because we're so small, we're always dependent upon the Lord. So, overview of Adhikaranas. Adhikarana 1, description of the Jiva Tattva. Adhikarana 2, covering of the Jiva's pure knowledge and bliss. Adhikarana 3, the Jiva is a self-revealer and a conscious giver. Adhikarana 4, the Jiva has an individual identity. Adhikarana 5, the Jiva is infinitesimal by nature. Adhikarana 6, the Jiva is a doer and the enjoyer. Adhikarana 7, the Jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. And keep going. Oh yeah, no, this is just a list. This book's just a list of the Adhikaranas. Okay. So Adhikarana 1, description of the Jiva Tattva, Anuchedas 19 to 21. Is this volume 2? No, part 1. Where are the other Anuchedas?
We did only 18 ones till now. That is in the previous Adhyaya.
But here says part 1. Oh, we've done this much. Oh, okay. Somehow I would have thought we were starting. I was thinking, why is it 19? Okay. Adhikarana Prakashika. In this Adhikarana... Oh, that's nice. No. I'm just putting this Adhikarana Prakashika like that. Instead of as a full heading. Because normally we put it as a heading. But this is actually nice, because then you see it's like the vrittis and those kind of things. In this Adhikarana, the author first provides definition of the primary characteristics of the Jiva, based on the explanation given by Jamatri Muni on the verses from Padma Purana. Then, in the Anuchedas 19-21, he elaborates on the first verse of Padma Purana, which describes the Jiva as the shelter of knowledge. He has a quality of knowledge, is conscious, not insentient like matter, has no birth and no change. In the Anuchedas, In Anuchedas 19, he explains that the Jiva is different from the body, which is the field of knowledge, because it is the observer, ikshita, a knower, prakashaka, and knows itself, swadrik. In his commentary to this verse, the author further elaborates on these aspects by presenting and thoroughly refuting the arguments of Nirvisheshavadis, who say that, quote, Atma is devoid of qualities, and hence describing Atma as the possessor of qualities like knower or aware of itself is a mistake. Like that. Yeah, they're just so foolish, these guys, right? Because if they can't be aware of themselves, then how are they aware as it is? You know, that's the fun part. You know, how can they be practicing self-realization if they're unaware? You know, say no to just aware of Brahman, but they're still as an individual making that process. And they can say no, or it's all Brahman, but why is it only this person's taking up that path and all the other people are not? Yes.
the whole Paramatma Sandarbha revolves on this one point, that Jiva has to finally take responsibility for his coming to the material creation.
No.
Not that he can put on the blame, like, no.
No, but hey, come on. That's one of the biggest things, is you can blame Krishna for why you're here. Why did he make us this way? You know, why didn't he this? Why didn't he that? So you're saying, Jiva Goswami is saying we have to take responsibility for our own actions. Interesting. Very revolutionary concept. And in Anucheda 20, the author rejects insentient in the Atma. The Atma is beyond the three states of wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep, which are the functions of the material intelligence, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.13.27. As you can see, as Markandeya Rishi, at the destruction, then everybody would be asleep. He's still floating around in the water, fully conscious, like that. And thus is conscious always, as opposed to matter, which is unconscious. And in the Anucheda, you can say, oh no, but when he's in deep sleep, he's not conscious. Then why is it after, when you wake up, you can say that was a nice sleep? Right? And in the Anucheda 21, the author states the Atma is without a change, or just without change? Yeah. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. The various phases of one's material life, beginning with birth and culminating in death, are all properties of the body and do not affect the soul, just as the apparent waxing and waning of the moon does not affect the moon itself. Such changes are enforced by the imperceptible movements of time. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.7.48. So the living entity, by them going through all these changes of the bodies and the conscious, all these different things, but it actually doesn't affect the jiva proper. Jiva's still the jiva. He still has the same nature. He's still conscious. He's still eternal, Satchitananda. But because he identifies with you by the upadis, therefore he thinks, I am changing, I am doing all these things. But actually, he's not. Okay, Anucheda 19. The jiva is one among the retinue of Paramatma. That's interesting. The retinue. Okay. So we're thinking, oh, we're here and Paramatma's with us. No, Paramatma's here and we're with him. Like that. The jiva's secondary tattvastic characteristics were already stated in explaining Kshetragya Etaha, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.11.12, using the descriptions found in Padma Purana. Jamatri, an esteemed guru of the ancient Sri Sampradaya, following Ramanuja's philosophy, has described the jiva's primary sarup qualities. In explaining pranava, the following is found in Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda 6.2.2.6.34-37. The jiva is the shelter of knowledge, has the quality of knowledge, is conscious, and is beyond prakriti. It has no birth and no change. It has its own individual form. The jiva is small, eternal, and spreads out. It has knowledge and bliss, and the sense of I. It does not decrease, is the knower of the body, and is different from other jivas eternally.
No.
Yes?
What does it mean, spreads out?
Spreads out means your consciousness goes out. Like you're very small, but your consciousness is all throughout your body. So that way he spread like that. Or you can say, as the jiva tattva, then jivas are everywhere.
It's
not
like a spread.
No, it's not like a... It's a... I guess it's cold in the morning, we're feeling hungry. So. jivas, tattvastha spread. It does not decrease, as the knower of the body is different from other jivas eternally. The jiva cannot be burnt, cut, moistened, or dried out. It cannot be destroyed. Endowed with these qualities, the jiva is subordinate to the Lord. The jiva is the sound M in Om. The jiva is a secondary knower of the field, but always subordinate to the Lord and no one else. Right? Because we write Om like this, so the M... That'll be the jiva. The O is actually will be the combination of A and U. So A will be Krishna, U will be the internal potency. And then M is the jiva. And then that dot above, because we only put the dot, we don't put the Chanda Bindu whole thing, but then one of them's the Dham, one of them's the pastimes. You know, you have that the Dham and then the pastimes. Mm-hmm. So, and it says, and that's the complete form. That's why Om is the, what's those called?
Mahavakya.
Mahavakya. It's the Mahavakya because of this. Because it's complete. It has the whole thing, everything in within it. So, yeah. The Dham. Because the pastimes happen in the Dham. So the Lord, the internal potency, the living entities within the Dham perform pastimes. So those five aspects, that's Omkara. That's why it's Pranava. I mean, that means not it's Pranava, it's Mahavakya. Right? And without it, no other mantras work. Vedic mantras, you don't say the Om before, they don't have any potency. So Om has to be there. So because Krishna is there with everything. So that's the thing. Well, you see, Shankar is trying to switch it to it's about us. Instead of it's about God and we're in the retinue of God. Yes. It's about us. So therefore, tattvam asi, I am that.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the whole point. It's more about, soham, like that. It's all about that. Not that is there and I am part of that. You know, they don't say I'm an umsa of that. No, they want to say no. I that complete. It's me. You know, so you can see is dealing with the false ego. Based on this, Jamitri Muni teaches as follows: the jiva is not a devata, not a human, not an animal, nor a plant. It is not a body or a sense, nor is it mind, prana, or intellect. It is not insentient. Not subject to change and not just knowledge alone. It is aware of itself and has its own individual form. The jiva is consciousness giving, spreads through the body, and is made of knowledge and bliss. Each jiva has its own identity and is separate from other jivas. It is very small and eternally pure. It is a knower, doer, and enjoyer by its very nature. By its nature, it is subservient to Paramatma at all times. So basically you could say this explanation here is basically the basis of this whole Adhikarana. Mm-hmm. All these points that now Jiva Goswami will go through. The explanation of Jamitri is according to Ramanuja's commentary. That the Jiva is a devata, human or animal, first point of Jamitri, is also rejected in Tattva Sandarbha, quoting the following verse. Prana follows the jiva in bodies born from eggs, wombs, seeds, and perspiration. When the senses and ahankara cease to function in deep sleep, the fixed atma alone remains, without the covering of the subtle body, but with memory of the experience of deep sleep. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.39. Right? So that means he's always conscious. It just means it may get less and less, but he's always there. The jiva is a material, is a material body.
That
jiva. The
jiva.
Oh, that jiva is a material body is rejected. Okay. The atma, self-revealing, svadrik, the observer, ikshita, is different from the subtle and gross bodies. Just as fire, the burning agent and illuminator, is different from wood, which is burned. Since the revealer, knowledge, is different from the revealed. Okay. So it makes sure, so you have wood in the fire. Fire burns the wood, but fire is different from the wood. Right? The jiva is different, vilakshana, from the body because it is the observer, ikshita, a knower, prakashakaha, and knows itself, swadrik. The Lord spoke thus, this verse. Sarva sambandhini. Okay. In refuting the idea that jiva is mere consciousness, na jnana matra makaha, a logical explanation is given to show that jiva is a knower. So otherwise you just say he's consciousness, but then he's a knower. Because if you say he's a knower, then that means then now you're discriminating and all these things. So the impersonalists want to avoid this. Just knowledge. You know? Or just consciousness, not even knowledge. Because even knowledge, they try to say, is given up. So they become, how you say, they become spontaneous impersonalists, right? You know, trying to come to the spontaneous platform. It's just consciousness. There's no knowledge. Yeah. So the one has to show is he is a knower. That means then he's an individual. And that's then what the impersonalists are trying to avoid. Vriti.
It seems that the vision of the impersonalist is that jiva does not have a form, does not exist.
No, he doesn't. So all there is consciousness. Yeah. So this Satchitananda, they're not accepting that. Yeah. Though they'll say he'll be an Ananda, but then how can there be Ananda if there's consciousness? If he's conscious of Ananda, that means Ananda is another entity other than the consciousness. And so then there's again two. So that's the whole thing. Is everything they do is all, you know, there's Maya and there's Brahman. It's all about two. They don't say they're one. We say they're one. They say they're two. And when we say the Brahman and the living entity are individuals, they'll say, no, they're one. Yes. So they just switch back and forth. Whatever's, in other words, whichever path, you know, by presenting, you can be God, that's the one they want to take.
Yes. Yes.
So that's their whole point. Vriti, the Vishaya Vakya here is Jiva is a knower, not a mere consciousness. Vishaya means? Vishaya Vakya?
Vishaya Samshaya, the thesis point.
Oh, so Vishaya is the. Okay, and then the Shamshaya is the. Yeah. Again, okay. Shamshaya and Purva Paksha, right? They're getting fancy this time.
There's a team.
Yes, because normally they just enter doubt, but now they're even going to give all their alternatives and explanations and everything. The Nirvisheshavadis say that the two words describing Atma in the body, Vijnana and Ananda, cannot be taken attributedly, Gaunya. Words functioning metaphorically are gaunya, derived from the word guna, quality, depend on objects with qualities, right? So they're saying it can't be there. So, and Atma is not supposed to have qualities. Right, so this Ananda, so then why are they talking about Brahmananda? You know? And why are they talking about it's important for knowledge? You know, it's like that, yeah. A sentence with Gaunya function. Devadatta is a lion. This means Devadatta has qualities of courage and ferocity like those qualities in a lion. Therefore, using the word Atma with descriptive elements is a mistake since Atma is devoid of qualities. Right? At the same time, as they're going to describe everything by qualities and then say there are no qualities. And then you use this knowledge and then it'll all go away. So it's all impersonal. Mm. You know, it's like in the Far East. They have the same thing. They play in the market. Learn everything, forget everything. Mm. You have to learn it all, but then you have to forget it. Mm. And just use it. You know? So it's the same stuff, just slightly differently applied. Like that. Gautama Rishi, in his Nyaya Sutras, proposes that one... What is this? This is intended... This is a quote. Sorry?
This is a vritti, Maharaj.
Oh, but it needs the word vritti?
Because I have put this, which is in the context of this explaining the Nirvisheshava, this argument.
No, but still you should put in the vritti. Vritti doesn't mean that it has to be an explanation. Vritti just means note.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So we're using it as notes, as our explanations here, this, because otherwise then we're not sure, is this him or this, who is this?
Is VBT, but we are telling that in context of that.
Yes, but it's a vritti or an udvritti or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just leave it like this, because like this, it looks like it's his quote.
Oh, it's there in mind. That's what I was not understanding.
Yeah, so just.
I think when I printed it, it didn't come out.
Okay. Okay. We have solved the problem.
From the eyes, you are very personal, not impersonal.
Well, because that's what I found a difficulty before, because I've seen others then make books on, let's say, works of the Acharyas, but you can't tell where it's the Acharya and where it's them.
Yes.
You know? Like Prabhupada will always say, Rupa Goswami then continues like this, and then he'll make his... So you can tell, and like in Krishna book, you can tell where it's the book and where it's him commenting, just how he writes it. But in these, they won't. So just for to make sure, then we're very clear. So Vriti, we know it's us. You know? Then Udriti, then we know it's the Acharyas. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the point. Is that and then so you just want to make it very clear on who's speaking, so people are aware.
Yes.
Like that.
It's Vritti BBT purport of that verse.
Yeah, we can say Vritti and then say in the BBT purport, then it is stated, you know, it gives, like we do in the other places or something. Or even just put Vritti and it doesn't matter.
Somehow I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, how it didn't get printed.
The book.
Because actually, in this Sandarbha, there are quite a few persons expressing, speaking, you know?
Yes.
There is a Gosvami, there is a Srila Prabhupada, there is a Macharya, there is a doubt of the living entity, of the thing. So it's not so easy to see who is speaking. You know?
Yes, that's why we always list it.
Yes.
That's why it's always listed. Mm-hmm. Gautama Rishi, in his Nyaya Sutras, proposes that one can attain liberation by negating both illusion and unhappiness. Like that. That's just, how you say? Go to your computer, you know, scroll down, pick a block of illusion and happiness and push delete, right? And then you're done. Right? Dukkha, Janma, Pravriti, Dosha, Mithya, Jnanam, Jnananam utarot tarapaye tad anantara bhavad apavargaha. By successfully dispelling false conceptions, bad character, entangling action, rebirth, and misery, the disappearance of one of these allowing the disappearance of the next, one can achieve final liberation. Nyaya Sutra 112. But since Nyaya philosophers believe that awareness is not an essential quality of the soul, they teach that a liberated soul has no consciousness. Right? So again, you see, the Buddhistic idea. So basically, Buddhist just means Buddhist. It just means that philosophy without the Vedic, without being Vedic evidence. Because otherwise, then the attachment, detachment and anger. These are the three, you could say, basic philosophies. Right? Means you're going to have, or I think it's attachment, fear, and anger. Mm-hmm. So attachment means you're attached to, it's karma, you're attached to the fruitive work. You know, however it may be, you know, it's theistic, it's not theistic, you follow the Vedas, you don't follow the Vedas, it's about Dharma, it's only about getting the things, it's only about the mechanics. Doesn't matter, it's all within that realm of attachment and working and that fruit of work. Mm-hmm. Then fear, then is going to be your fear of this, because it doesn't give you any happiness. It always turns into a can of worms.
Yeah.
Right? And so, therefore, then you reject it. And so, in rejecting it, then you also reject anything that goes with it. So, this has form, there's no form. This has individuality, the ultimate is no individuality. This has qualities, that has no qualities. This has, like this. So, the impersonal, the jnana, path of jnana. Then, when neither of those work, then you become angry. Then it goes into what's the Buddhist, the voidist, just nothing. Complete destruction. The other one, it's destructive. But it's not. Its mood is not so much. So the other one, it has that mode of ignorance and just complete, getting rid of everything. So there's no existence, no conscious, no anything. And so, but the point is, if that's all there is, why would you think that that's good? If you're not there to experience that, what does it matter? You know, there's nothing going on now. So it's like over in this corner there is breakfast happening. You know, some nice stuff is being arranged and cooked. No. So somehow, is that fabulous? You know? So that's the whole thing, is that this nothingness, but if you're not there to experience it, what does it matter? You know? So that's it. Because, you know, they have the thing, if a tree falls in the forest, if no one's there, will it make sound? So then it's all about themselves. So if it's about themselves, then when you attain nirvan, then if you're not an individual, how will you appreciate that it's a good situation? Mm-hmm. So these three philosophies are the basis of everything. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's just a matter of where they're leaning and this and that, whether they're conscious or not, whether you exist or not, you know, all these different things. So that's from the, what is it? Vita Baya Raga Krodha, something? Vita Raga Baya Krodha, yeah, that Bhagavad Gita verse. No? The Nyaya idea of liberation thus puts the soul in the condition of a dead stone. This attempt by the Nyaya philosophers to kill the soul's innate consciousness is here called Sato-mritim by the personified Vedas. But the Vedanta Sutra 2.3.17 unequivocally states, Gyota Eva, this jiva soul is always a knower. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.25 purport. Uttara. In response to this, we say the following. Since there is no error in perception of the intermediate knowledge, nirvikalpa, indeterminate knowledge, error occurs in relation to something with qualities. For instance, one mistakes shell for silver because of similar qualities of whiteness. One perceives sky as blue erroneously because of a form similar to the sky spread everywhere, finally in the same place. Yeah. Which gives an opportunity to the vision because of sunlight in the sky. The illusion of blueness is superimposed on the sky. The mistake depends completely on qualities of objects. Thus the jiva is not merely knowledge. Atma has qualities. The error concerning Atma depends on mistaking Atma's qualities. Right? So the Atma has qualities, but you're mistaking. So you're saying, oh, no, but you're saying, you know, this is, you know, like Prabhupada mentions, is that you have the in this case, the shell and the silver. But the mistake is based on qualities. The silver exists and has qualities. Shell has that. So there's a commonality of that particular whiteness that's there. And so that's going to be what is then the mistake. So that means you're saying the jiva, you know, all these things about the jiva and the illusion, but you're basing it on qualities. So the jiva will have qualities. Right? Moreover, awareness is an experience of knowledge. This knowledge should reveal itself or should give knowledge of itself to itself by its own existence in the state of present time.
Sounds really good.
Yes. Of itself, to itself, by its own existence, by itself.
Yeah. And in the present time.
And in the present.
This could be a good heading for seminar.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Or it can be said that by its very existence, it proves itself as an object of its knowledge. In either case, even for the person claiming that Atma is mere awareness, it amounts to the Atma possessing Shakti, by which it is aware of itself. It is well established that the knower is self-revealing. This means that awareness by itself reveals an object. If the Atma were devoid of its nature of revealing objects, it would become insignificant, since its self-revealing nature would not even be accomplished, and it would be incapable of experiencing its own awareness. In the state of deep sleep, we prove that the Atma possesses Shakti by the experience, quote, I slept happily, end quote. Bhavarta Deepika 6.16.55. What's Bhavarta Deepika? That's being quoted within Sarva Sambhadini.
I think this is Bhavarta Deepika is Sridhar Swami's commentary on the Padma Purana. Or Vishnu Puran, something.
So that's Sridhar Swami.
I think.
Okay. And so not Jamatri, Muni.
No.
Okay.
Like in the beginning only mentioned.
So he's quoting from there, so why don't you indent that? Then?
Because that's what Jiva Goswami told in the beginning. I'll add Sridhar Swami's as it is. And then wherever Sridhar Swami's commentary is there, he adds his main points. So it's Jiva Goswami saying, quoting directly from Sridhar Swami. Sometimes he mentions, sometimes he doesn't even mention.
Oh, that is from there. Oh, okay.
So that his point we are just leaving as it is.
Okay, so the Bhavartha Deepika means this one he's mentioning what it is, but sometimes he doesn't.
Let me cross check if Bhavartha Deepika is Sridhar Swami.
Maharaj, can you just summarize that fancy set of statements? Then, is that what we say, or this is the opposition?
No, this is Uttara. This is what we say.
Oh.
Because the jiva, it means that if it's aware, it can be aware of itself by its own shakti. It means it's Satchitananda, and by that it can be aware of its own existence and aware of things around it. What they're trying to say is, no, the jiva has no qualities, and so therefore, you know, doesn't exist in all this. But if it doesn't exist, why are you worrying about it? That's like, it would be like preaching to a cartoon or something that it's illusion, and it should become aware of its being illusion. Then it'll merge back into Brahman and experience Brahmananda.
So are we talking at this particular thing about liberated jiva or conditioned jiva, or just in the pure state?
We're just talking about the pure nature of jiva, just like you see in the Dasa Mool Tattva. You talk about what's the nature of the jiva first, just what they are. Then then the next one will be in a conditioned state and then in a liberated state. Yes?
The swarupa qualities, means the primary qualities of the jiva we are discussing all through this adhikara.
Yeah, so just what the jivas are, whether they realize it or not, like that. So the point is you're self-aware, you know who you are. Means that, you know, they figure it out. And, you know, as they grow, like babies, they're there and they're aware that they exist and all that. And that there's a thing, and then they become aware that there's other things and expands. And even I think sometimes in the first few days or weeks, because they just lay there. When they start to be able to move more and their arm is there, they think it's something else. You know, what's that? You know, and then it takes a while to figure out that, oh, you know. So they're we understand that being part and parcel of the Lord is by the Lord's potency that this happens. But this is being discussed because we're going to always discuss it in the context of the Lord. Right? That's why I said he's part of the Lord's retinue. Like, he'll get to that. But at the beginning, you just have to establish the jiva on their own, that this is what they are, and they are self-conscious themselves. So if they're self-conscious and all that, then that means, then, you know, what situation they're in, it's by their own doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so therefore, then if you connect to the Lord, then you can be liberated. You know? It's all by the Lord's grace. You know? But in general philosophy, people don't necessarily accept the authority of the Lord or the existence of the Lord. So you're just explaining the by logic the jiva on its own. Does that make sense? But it's taken from Shastra. Because Shastra explains all these things. You know, he's saying that the personified Vedas, you know, and all these, they're all explaining these things. Yeah. So, yes?
From our knowledge is before consciousness. Yeah. First we need to get the knowledge.
No. First we're conscious. Otherwise, how do we get knowledge? It means if you're not conscious, how do you see the book? The book has knowledge,
yes.
But unless you're conscious, then you can't appreciate knowledge.
Yes.
You know, so that's why he says he's the knower, because then he can know things.
But you already said awareness is an experience of knowledge.
Means, what are you experiencing? You're experiencing knowledge. Means the Lord's potency, of course, there's going to be the Lord's potency, the jnana shakti. And then it's going to be from that. But jnana shakti is in the position of existence.
Yes.
So the jnana shakti is in, you know, is in the position of sat.
Yes.
Right? The kriya is in chit.
Yes.
Then icha is in ananda.
Yes.
You know, or sandini, something like this. It's like sat chit ananda. So that will be there as the Lord's potency, and it'll be a part of that. But we are conscious, just like Krishna's conscious, we're conscious. Everything coming from him is conscious. Like Maya, she's conscious. Mm-hmm. Right? Just the energy itself, you know, is not. You know what I'm saying? The individual, but the person who it is. You know, just like your nail is not conscious.
Yes. Yes.
So it's just material energy, it's just that.
Yes.
You know? But she's conscious of it. So that's how she arranges it and everything. Is that? So we're going to be, it's going to be part of that aspect. You know, or you can say as knowledge, meaning here is that then samvit. You can also see samvit there as knowledge, because that's where you apply it. Right? In other words, the position of knowledge and what it is, that will be the sat, but you know, the existence of it. But the application of it, that'll be chit. And so we're expanding from the chit shakti. Right? That aspect. You know? Does that make sense?
Knowledge and consciousness go together.
Yes, because you're conscious of knowledge. You know, yes.
Sometimes, if it is actually translated, the chit, it could be translated knowledge, but
yes.
It could be also translated consciousness.
Yes, yes.
Because it's, you know, it depends on the context, but there is a translation like that, so it's consciousness. I mean, English, it's a funny language, but...
English is where it has been felt it's important. They've developed it very, very much. You know, in the particular areas, they have very, very exact words. And in areas that are not so important to them, like philosophy, then they don't have as much terms. You know, they have terms for inductive elements, but they don't have terms for the deductive. So it hasn't been taken that far. You know? And so... You may not want to bring this up to, you know, an intellectual, because they'll say, oh, there's so much language, but they don't have terms for this. The difference, non-difference, and these, they don't have for that. How the knowledge is pervading and this, and all, they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's just unfortunate. There's some terms that's hard to explain. You know, like Prabhupada, you know, rasa. You just put mellows. That's as close as you get, because you can't really, they don't really have a word that explains it. You know, you can use a whole sentence to explain it, but you can't. It doesn't have a word. It's like that. So every language has a stronger area or a weaker area. So this is one of the ones that's. Yeah, but English is fairly good. One linguist was saying that English is quite, it has an element that is poetic aspect. It's very good, like is similar like Sanskrit. You can do so much with it poetically. So it's a very expressive language, but at the same time, as because it doesn't have that proper grounding, it can be a little bit arbitrary. You know, it's just like we're going here. Where do you put the thus or where you don't put? It seems quite arbitrary. It's just how it's used. You know, someone will come up with and think about it and come up with a nice rule, but you'll find when people's usage change, that rule will change. You know? Well, in Sanskrit, it doesn't change. You follow the rule, it doesn't change. If it changes, it becomes Prakrit. You know, and it's already shown how it changes, because by the modes, people change it in particular ways. You know, tas turn into does and stuff like that.
Bhagavata Deepika is a Bhagavatam commentary by Sridhar Swami.
Ah, okay, very good.
And then here it's not from the beginning whether he commented or just one or two sentences. That's why I could not segregate it.
Oh, okay. Okay, no, then in that case, don't just, that we have it, we know it's there.
Okay. So actually, the what we are reading in Achyuta 19, the beginning, the Padma Purana, this is the verse that explains the nature of the jiva.
This means there's so many verses, but it's specifically, he's quoting from Jamitri Muni's commentary, you know, means the verses itself and his commentary. from Padma Purana, because he gives a very nice, succinct, you know, in a very short thing, he gives a very exact. So anybody who's given a very exact, clear definition, everybody uses it.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what school you're from, you'll use that. You know, so if it's something in Nyaya, Gotama said something very good, you'll use that.
Okay.
Even though other parts of his philosophy we won't care about.
Okay.
You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the point, is that where it's been clearly explained, you know, and it's in line with the parampara, with the proper hermeneutics, then that will be used.
Mm-hmm.
So here, then Jamatrimuni has given a very nice explanation.
Yes.
You know, it must be that people were very unclear, so he really worked on it and gave something very exact. And because of that, then that's being quoted by Jiva Goswami. So his Anucheta is based around that. Actually, this whole Adhikarana is based around this.
Whole
Adhyaya, excuse me. Yeah, the Adhyaya is all based around this. And so then... in this, then he's bringing that out. It's being quoted now because you're starting from here. And then with that, then he's giving, you know, what it is and then some explanations. Then he explained it. And so it's been explained. But because it's such a technical point and an important point, now he's given his own commentary. So the Sarvasambhadini,
yes,
is Jiva Goswami's commentary on the Sandarbhas. His own comment. He wrote the Sandarbha, and then his own commentary on the Sandarbha. So here and there, again, he felt that it needed more, so he put on more. Within that, then he's presenting the whole argument, that what others might say, because this is there, but you might not catch it. You know, just like we were discussing, I think it was yesterday, and then Prabhu pointed out that, oh, then by this, then that thing, what they say of a reflection, they can't use it, because they're saying that there's, you know, this is all illusion. But if it's a reflection, then why is it in this form? That means the original has these things in it, you know, because they have all these different philosophies. You say this, and they switch to that. You say that, and they switch to this. They just keep changing because we keep defeating their philosophy. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so then he goes through and presents like that. And in that, then here he's quoting from Sridhar Swami. So it's quite, you know, and within that, then we may be putting in something in this and that. You know, something that Prabhupada said, or, you know, one of the other acharyas have said.
Because usually, you know, when we define something, you know, like Krishna, we are taking information directly from the Veda.
Yes.
So here, the Jiva is a very important topic.
Yes.
So it's like we can say it's unusual to take the explanation of this sage Jamatri Muni instead of directly the Vedic.
No, but the direct was there. If you notice that on page 46. Then you have, what is it, four verses from the Padma Purana. And it says all that, but then he's very nicely explained that in four verses.
Okay, yes.
So therefore, that's why we're saying, it's because the text is there. It's always going to be there. But then how he's brought it out, then it makes it very clear, and it has, you know, exactly one after another points. And then now he can spend the rest of this adhyaya explaining these points.
Yes.
You know, the jiva is not a deva, not a human, not an animal, a plant. You know, he's not a body like this, and just one after another he can.
Yes.
Yes.
One says we need more and more keys to unlock. First from the Vedas, it's not clear. Then Puranas gave more like unlocked something, then Acharya unlocked another thing, and Jiva Goswami unlocks more.
Yeah.
Prabhupada like unlocks us, and
then
finally
that's not.
Yes.
We're just talking, and then you guys make some comments and make it clear. Purva Paksha, knowing an object. So now here's now their argument against this. Purva Paksha, knowing an object is not a quality of the Atma, right? Because we pointed out is that because you can know things by qualities, that means there has to be qualities inherent in what you're looking at. Because you can't see something that you don't have the quality in. You know, it's just like if you can't see color, then you won't see the color in things. You can't perceive that. So that you're perceiving qualities means you have qualities. Does that make sense? Let's say if you do not have an aesthetic sense, you can't see something nicely arranged.
Yes.
Or if you have no sense of proper taste, you can't tell what's cooked nice or not. You know, if you have no sense of right and wrong, you can't tell what behavior is good or what's bad. So the jiva has to have qualities if it is able to perceive qualities. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is you have to bring it down that they have these. Because there means, here, take this scenario. You have a bunch of sannyasis sitting around in a monastery. Nothing is happening. I mean, literally, nothing is happening. You know, Jyotirmat, Sringeri, there's nothing going on there like that. And they have all day. It's not like they got to chant their rounds or this or that, or, you know, they got to, you know, some other service and that. No, they just have to sit there and think about Vedanta. So these guys have been sitting there all day, every day, for the last some thousands of years. So then they get down to these fine little points like that, so the acharyas therefore have to deal with that. You know, if they had less time, there'd be less arguments. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the meaning of the Bengali saying, Nai kaj koi bhaj. It means when you have nothing to do, you make puffed rice, right? So you take the rice, it has the husk on it. So it's, or maybe you could say it's popped rice. Because I think puffed rice is when it doesn't have the husk on it, and you cook it in the sand, then it puffs up like we have, like muri. Mm-hmm. Popped rice, you have the husk on it, so when it expands, it blows up and becomes... It's like, yeah, popped. It's like, it's, how big are they? They're like double the size of muri. Mm-hmm. Like that, super soft, like that. So 1 kilo is this huge monster bag. Mm-hmm. So that's the meaning. Nai kaj koi bhaj means you have nothing to do. You're going to do something that has absolutely no value. Big, you know, this, but nothing.
Still more value than Maya body.
That's there. It's there, yeah. But it just means that you do something useless, you know, something with no substance like that. Like we used to give it, it was in the rotation, at least we used to have it over here when the boys are bigger and stuff, that you know, with the milk, sometimes muri, sometimes this koi, sometimes the chira, you know, things like that. But somehow or another, the koi... Then it was like, there's nothing there. You put it there, you eat it. It's like, you know, it's air, you know.
Nobody
so,
liked it.
Huh?
None of the boys liked it.
Well, that was because they didn't take out the husks. Otherwise, it's very tasty. But
yeah.
They were too lazy to take out the husks, so then when they eat it, they get the husks, and then, oh, this is not good. No, it's that you didn't clean it. What to do? How you say? Another saying, give a dog a bad name and then hang them. So... Yes.
Prabhupada used the word fused, right?
Fused, yeah. Like that. It's what you know, in marriages is used and stuff like that.
Especially in making laddus. If you make with the puffed rice, it's like very hard to bite. This one is softer. Like.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's one place in Bengal very famous for those laddus.
For smaller children to eat, we give that.
But you have that in South also?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Very much.
Okay.
And you can... generally, when you
feel... Yeah, the bigger ones, yeah. So the bigger boys like that, and the little boys like the few.
Yeah, you can mix it with gur.
Yeah.
Both you mix it with gur. The bigger one, then it's like you said, for bigger boys.
Yeah, they like that, because it used to give them a big ball. You know, they get hungry in the morning, give them a big ball of that, and they go out and chew on that. And you really think you're eating something, because you have to chew. And fun was, some of them used to sit at the pukur. You have the step down the pukkha, and you have this little raised thing. They sit right on the edge and eat that, because some pieces fall off. and then all the fish would be coming around. So they get something to eat and entertainment. You know, so it was all happening. You know?
All these people also koi.
Yeah, koi also, yeah.
Yeah,
but otherwise they just sit around and come up with stupid philosophies, you know, like that. That's what they do all day. Yeah, they go out sweep the courtyard or something. Then maybe it'd be, yes.
Also, we see Maharaj here that this concept of boxes, having the jiva as its own individual box and material energy as its own individual box, and jiva has nothing to do and no connection with material world. That is what they are trying to prove. The jiva's consciousness and its awareness, its limit to whatever he is himself.
Mm-hmm.
And but he actually is not aware of the world around. That's what, like, knowledge, knowing an object is not a quality of Atma. Mm. They are trying to prove.
Okay, that he doesn't actually know. Knowing an object is not a quality of the Atma.
When we say, like, jiva is a knower and knowledge both, when we say knower, then he's aware of everything else also.
Yeah.
That is the prime reason being, then he has chosen to come to material world. But for them, he's just a knowledge. Means that impersonal kind of awareness, which is the Brahman aspect.
Okay, so just Maya covered and had nothing to do with him.
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, okay, so then that goes back to this actually impersonalism. When devotees are saying, you know, it's not me, it's not, you know, it just happened, why it happened to me. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting there, you know, minding my own business, and then a jnana shakti came and covered me, and then here I am, it's not my fault. You know.
Especially these points, like I think the whole purpose of writing Sarva Samvadini is it breaks the nice mood and flavor of expressing a point, so he has to bring it out and hit them very hard and then go back.
Yeah, no, you can take a different flavor.
It's more difficult for me.
Yeah, because if he's knowledge and he's knower, because we're satchit, satchit means we are knowledge. At the same time, we're conscious, so then we are knower. So.
Yes, I'm thinking that, like you mentioned, devotees sometimes they speculate. So, if it was a conscious decision to come here,
yes,
then just logically it should be conscious decision going back there.
Yes,
it's not going to happen on its own.
Because
of the time or wheel of time or whatever it is. But some they think, just by, you know.
I mean, I'll take my kid to the dentist and I'll come back and realize soul or something. You know, it's just someone else should do it. It's a Shudra mentality because it's just like, you know, I'm taken care of. Someone else does it. I enjoy. It means, of course, I didn't do this, but then when it comes to this, no, of course, it's my enjoyment, my arrangement, my choice like this. Yes. Anything wrong, no, it's someone else should take care. So that's why then in the society, then, you know, others take care of the economics, the administration, the education, and everything like that. And then they just, you know, how you say, get the benefits of that. But the point is here. That's a very good point. If it's reverse, is that if you have to be conscious to go there, that means you were conscious to come here. Otherwise, why would it be like that? You know. So, does that make sense? You know, a kid falls out of the pram, you just pick him up and put him back in. You know.
Mm-hmm. That's the same reason that acharyas say, don't worry about how you came here.
How to get out.
When you were trying to get out, you understand, this is how I came, I'm not conscious. I mean, I'm not applying conscious in the right way.
Yeah. Good.
So, when we speak about quality, usually, you know, we have the name, form, quality, pastime.
Yes, yes.
So, can you use the same thing? Yeah, because we are trying understand that Atma is quality.
Right? Yes, yes.
So, first we need to have the...
But name, form, qualities, activities are there.
Yeah.
Because without name and form, where's the existence? Right? Without knowledge, where's the activities? Mm-hmm. Right? And then from the pastimes, that's where it's without that, where do you get Ananda? Ananda doesn't come on its own. There's no just Ananda just existing there.
Yes, yes.
It has to be connected with some activity. You can say, no, I can just sit here and enjoy, you know, just doing nothing. But you're comparing that to having so much work.
Yes, yes.
And so now you're making the effort and conscious of doing nothing.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like, hey, you want to do? No, I'm just enjoying doing nothing, you know. It's like that because it's been a hard week or something.
Yes, yes.
So then you just want to lay there on the bed for a few minutes, you know, how you say, in the, you know, this kind of position. And then after you've done that and enjoyed that for 5-10 minutes, then you'll get up and go do something. You know? Yes.
When we say about decision, coming here or getting out,
yes,
it's a conscious decision.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be kind of a mistake. You know, you tripped and then you're here.
Yeah, it's just like you trip and then suddenly, oh, wow. Wow.
So it means that it's not that, usually we say it's not primitive but simple way that, you know, you wanted to enjoy, you wanted to get to be in the place of Krishna, and that's why you came here.
Yes.
So it was a process of the thing, or just the thought, or an action, or
an idea? It's any and all of that. The point is when you see things separate from Krishna, is there such a thing? Is anything separate from Krishna?
No.
So that means just to see that something is separate from Krishna means you already are in illusion.
So it means it develops.
Yes, it develops. It's something that develops or is cultivated. Because there's some, I've come across it before, and I've heard others talking about it, that I think Prabhupada mentions about Krishna tries to, 3 times to convince us not to come here. So there is some kind of arrangement for that. But then, you know, we're quite determined that it'll be great. You know, it's like little kids have an idea, yeah, we'll do this and that'll be fabulous. You know, we'll have strawberry kitchery. You know, it's like, no, we can do this with the strawberries. No, no, I want to make kitchery. You know, so, yeah.
Also, there is this point, like, in Rasa, like, for example, a nice festival is happening in home. As a kid, like, you know, if I was not doing anything, mom always like, why are you not doing anything? Basically, we are supposed to dynamically participate in the pastimes of the Lord.
Right.
And it's not that we are, there is no scope of not doing anything wrong, but not being participating itself is, one sense, a mistake.
Yeah. Well, because otherwise, then what are you going to do? Because we're conscious, we do activities for a purpose. So what's your purpose of not being involved?
So that point to understand is difficult for me. If I'm in the spiritual world, I didn't do anything wrong, so why I came here?
Yeah, but the point is unless you remember, you can't even remember what you ate for lunch yesterday, so then why are you worrying about something that happened, you know, a long time ago? It's just a matter of no one wants to be wrong, and they want the best prestige. They want the most prestige, you know. So it's all about control and enjoyment. So applying the principle I'm the controller and enjoyer on how I came here, then I can't have been, I'm the controller, so I couldn't have been the one that, you know, to do this, because I wouldn't do something so stupid like that as they continue in material existence, you know. And at the same time, as I want to enjoy the best position. So if I've identified that, okay, then being in Vrindavan as a gopi, as this, as that, and, you know, right, yeah, that's the best spot, and, you know, that's me. But it's prestige is driving it, not taste. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone's eating the most expensive food just because it's expensive, not necessarily it tastes good, you know. There's a good chance that, like, how you say, it's for an example, caviar?
Caviar.
Yeah, it doesn't actually taste that great, you know? But because it's so expensive, people will sit around with big grins on their face that they're eating it and all that. Because I think you have to eat it, you generally eat it with some really, really strong alcohol.
Yeah, different things, but the taste on its own, it's low taste. But when they combine it, it's a whole, like, science.
Okay.
Then it tastes okay.
that is not bad.
But not on its own.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is
bread,
it?
Bread, butter, and then
yeah, but the bread butter tastes great on its own without the other.
When you add that, it's a little salty, so it's...
Yeah, but you could also put something else salty. You could put an avocado on there or some cream cheese.
Cheese,
you know, anything. You know, so, yeah. So my point is that sometimes people do things because it's expensive. You know, it's just like, let's say, driving around, you know, in a Ferrari. It's very uncomfortable inside. They're meant just for racing. So it's all that and boxed in and all that, you know, because you go around the corners, you know, the seat's close and that. You want to be able to sit back and enjoy. You can't do that in those cars. Hard to get in, hard to get out, no place to keep your shopping. But people do it just for the wow factor. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So this whole idea is that I'm looking at it from what's the best prestigious thing for me. Because otherwise, why would the thing come up as, oh, if I want to do this, that, you know, then it's about prestige. Or, you know, do I have a choice? You know, do I have freedom? You know, like that. You know, like that. Am I in control? So you can see it's underlying is the conditioned experience. It's not based on spiritual understanding. So
the argument, basically, the argument itself that it's somebody to blame for us being here,
right,
means that we're supposed to be here, because this mentality doesn't match spiritual world.
No. Yeah, it is responsible. Yeah, then we'd have to be here, or the one where it says, they're taking it that we, you know, couldn't abandon the spiritual world just from Brahman, or we manifest from Brahman and like that. But they're not looking at what the term Brahman means. Because Brahman means Krishna. That's the first definition. Then you can get down like this. Then if that's the case, then the spiritual world is full of opulence and activities and that, but it's perfect. Material world is full of opulence and that, but not perfect. Brahman doesn't have anything. Right? So therefore, me coming to the material world is actually a step up. It's a step in the right direction. So, you know, no one should get on my case so much like that. You know, I'll go back to Godhead when I feel like it. You know what I'm saying? It's also a way to push away the, you know, come on, get serious and all that. Come on, I've already improved myself. I'm here in the material world. So you have to be very, very careful. It's very subtle, because the soul is very small, very subtle. It was the word finally. The sky spread everywhere, finally, in the same place. You know.
This is why there is this tendency, okay, to go back to Godhead is nice, but I'm not qualified, maybe next time.
Yeah, I'm not qualified, maybe next life and all that. And because of that, that's why the Christians got rid of transmigration. You know, one is they can never be an animal because we're superior. And two is that by thinking those the next life, then they don't get serious this life. And so no one comes to the church and no one puts anything in the hat. And this is really bad. you know, so. So, they say, you know, so then, like this. So we have to be very careful of these things. So that's why the acharyas get to such fine points. You know, because... In other words, they're not going to get any finer than we can appreciate. Just like in time, we don't deal with anything shorter than a nimisha, mm-hmm. a moment, a blink of an eye, right? Because less than that, you can't perceive, so why talk about it? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that it's you don't talk about anything less than that. So that's our time. There is time smaller than that to be, you know, the time down to the atom. So it's showing that, but we can only see from the nimisha. And then from the nimisha, we can only get up to our time, you know, up to our year. Mm-hmm. Like that. And that's our space. Mm-hmm. Then there's beyond that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Brahma, the Prajapatis, the Devas, you know, the Pitris, like that. There's their time. We don't use that. We use our time. We know about it, and it has its influence on our time. But basically, then we don't get involved. You know, so Brahma and the Prajapatis just doesn't even feature in our time. But, you know, the Uttarayana, Dakshinayana from the demigods, the waxing, waning of the moon, like that from the Pitris, that has some influence on our time. Is that... You know, so therefore we see within our context. So the acharyas aren't going to speak finer than what is can be appreciated. So that means what they're giving here, the Mayavadis can't go more than that. They may run around in circles and not accept, and you say this, then they go to that one, and they do that kind of stuff. They won't stick to the point. But otherwise, then it doesn't get finer than this. This is the finest philosophy gets. Like that. But to understand it and to realize it, now that's the important thing. So it's not a matter of just knowing it or memorizing it. It's a matter of practicing it, realizing it. Then we're seeing is that because we have quality, Krishna has quality. That we're people. He's a person. We have that relationship, personal relationship, because that's what they're doing. Nanda, Baba, Jashoda, Maya, they're people. They like Krishna. He's a person. He's the best. So, yeah. Okay. Purva Paksha. Knowing an object is not a quality of the Atma. Right? So they're saying that the Atma, knowing an object is not a quality of the Atma, but at the same time as they're pointing out that the Atma doesn't have that quality, it has some other qualities. So they can't drop the point of quality, because being an Atma with qualities, they have qualities they're going to see according to qualities. But they're going to say, no, it's not the qualities you say, it's the qualities we say. And what we say is he has no qualities. So he has the quality of no qualities. So, Uttara. This is a fallacious argument, because the quality of eternal self-realization, knowing the self, is proved by Scripture and accepted by them already. Scripture proves it. Otherwise, why are they endeavoring for self-realization? If you say the Mayavadi are trying for self-realization, they'll say yes. So Scripture's already established it. Self-realized, that means you can know. By saying that consciousness is not temporary and is not insentient, one must admit that the consciousness of the jiva has qualities. Like, so if you're saying that the consciousness of the jiva is not temporary and is always conscious, those themselves are already two qualities. You're conscious, that's a quality. The consciousness is not temporary, so the consciousness has that quality. And it's not he's not insentient, means like that. So all these things are qualities. When they describe Brahman, they always describe it by qualities. There's no other way to describe. You know, they already have the name. You know, Brahman, the form, the no form. You know, but then the qualities, unlimited, unchanging, like that, you know. Yes?
So unless there are positive qualities, there is no point of, there is no logic in negating the negative qualities, would you say?
Yeah, because then it's just another. So unless they're negating all qualities, what we see is then they're complaining about Lord Chaitanya. He's not studying Vedanta as a sannyasi should. But, you know, if it's all illusion, what does it matter? You know what I'm saying? You know, he could be sitting over in the corner playing on a kalimba or something like that. You know, it means they can't say that, no, you can't do these things. So they're negating the bad, then the good, and then, you know, like, then themselves, and then, you know, it's an interesting process. Material qualities are denied in consciousness, not temporary, etc., as the very nature of consciousness. If qualities are not recognized, either by presence or some qualities or absence of other qualities, like temporariness and insentience, statements denying qualities in the jiva's consciousness should not be uttered at all. Thus, the jiva is not mere consciousness. Because you have to mention, otherwise why would you bring them up? So they're using qualities to establish, then they'll say, oh, then we get rid of it. But then the whole point it's sad that they're using these elements. They're using the natural elements and not seeing that that's the way it is for everything. And Shastra's talking about that. They come up with their own interpretation. That's the problem. Shastra's directly saying something, but they interpret it. You know, so there's no need of interpretation where it's direct. Only if it's indirect, then you have to see, okay, it's poetic, so you have to apply it. Oh. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.